Bill Curry Ford presents the Ira Kaufman Podcast. Bill Curry Ford, since 1960, a Tampa icon. BillCurryFord.com. 0% financing, no money down, no payments for 90 days right now at BillCurryFord.com. Buccaneers fans, the Ira Kaufman Podcast is back after an explosive episode, one that set some new metrics for our podcast, and I'll explain that in a little bit. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com, and the king of Newport Richie is here, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the water damage whisperer, the sage of Tampa Bay sports. He's the star of the show, Ira Kaufman. How are you, Ira?
I'm doing well. Last seen, DeKemper was walking down US 19 heading towards Palm Harbor, but I've seen him since, and he's okay, and now he's in the City of Angels. He's in place.
We'll talk about that. Yeah, Lee is in place in Los Angeles for this big, big Bucks-Rams game on Sunday Night Football. And Ira, we're going to talk about the aftermath of that explosion in the last podcast and what happened here on a couple of levels, what sparked it, and where that debate lies right now, because things have happened.
And you were a witness to it, Steve. You were sitting right here.
I've been a witness to a lot of things, Ira. And we have to talk about, of course, Bucky Irving, which a lot of fans are tuning in to hear our explanation of what was written on JoeBucksFan.com about the Bucky Irving mystery and controversy, and that needs to be explained. I look forward to getting into that and taking fans behind the scenes as to how we operate and sort of how the business has to operate in certain circumstances. And you're nobody better to explain that than the sage of Tampa Bay sports. Now, we're presented by Bill Curry Ford. And what that means is they've got 0% financing for you on 2025s. No money down. No payments for 90 days. You're going to be extraordinarily impressed. Go to BillCurryFord.com. It's a family-owned dealership since 1960 in Tampa. Still family-owned. Third generation. Fourth generation. And that does not include Sean Sullivan, the general manager of Bill Curry Ford, our draft guru, the host of the Best in Class podcast, which you should be listening to. Sean has the Ira Kaufman discount for you. It's simple. You don't just go in and expect it. You say, Sean, may I have the Ira Kaufman discount? And you can email him on the website, send him a direct message on their website, BillCurryFord.com, or call him up and make an appointment, or just go into the dealership. He's there most of the time, not all the time.
What other dealership can you do? Can you deal with the man at the top, Steve? That doesn't happen.
Yes, and Bill Curry Ford is the giant. That's their nickname, Ira. This is the biggest service department in Florida, and they've got a body shop. They've got tremendous service. So Sean is the overseer of everything, but he will deal with you personally and do his very best to get you the best possible deal you need for whatever it is. It's an incredible offer. I wish more people took advantage of it. Ira, I've had people email me, oh, Bill Curry Ford was great, blah, blah, blah. And then I shoot him back, thank you so much for supporting. Did you ask for the Ira Kaufman discount? No, I didn't want to. You know, I got a good deal anyway. Such and such salesperson was great. I'm like, ask for it, you know?
But I got a huge inventory, Steve. Huge.
Tremendous. BillCurryFord.com. And we're presented by Florida's Elite Restoration as well. We'll talk about them later. They are your first call 24/7 anytime you have storm damage, flood, fire damage, mold, all kinds of things that can happen in your property. You call them first to get a free evaluation. Mention Ira or Joe Bucks Fan. And if you ever need their service because of that inspection and the aftermath, you'll get $500 back. But we'll talk more about them later. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Ira, so stick with me here, buddy. For those who didn't listen, Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Podcast Addict, many other platforms, iHeartRadio app, you can hear the Ira Kaufman Podcast, and of course, the thousands who listen directly at JoeBucksFan.com. Now, you and Lee got into a debate, an argument about whether the Bucks had a pretty good game against the Bills, how they performed, you got into your classic edge rusher argument, which is the core of it. Ira's like, hey, Bucks don't have the horses. You're asking Todd Bowles to make chicken salad out of worse than chicken crap. And Lee's argument is that Bowles doesn't develop these guys. He makes them worse. The scheme is messed up. He's got guys out in coverage. It's the endless debate here. Now, I have to say this, Ira, regarding the podcast, one of the platforms, I won't mention which platform, you know, on all of them, I can see certain metrics on the podcast. And generally, your podcast, Ira, has what what's called an 80% listen-through rate. You know what that means, Ira?
You got to be kidding me. That's a big, big number.
Yeah, it means that the people who tune in, the average person's listening to 80% of the podcast, which is unheard of.
It's a 45-minute podcast.
It's unheard of. In the industry, from what I'm told, that's a tremendous number. People love this podcast.
So okay. once they're hooked, they stay with it?
So one of the platforms I happened to check the listen-through rate for the last podcast, I was curious what the numbers were in general. It's all that kind of stuff. Word got around social media.
You put a headline on it.
One of the podcast platforms showed a 111% listen-through rate for the podcast.
What does that mean?
That means people were going back and rewinding and listening through.
Because they couldn't believe what they heard the first time.
They wanted to rehear what they were hearing. So that's unbelievable. Oh, and we appreciate our dedicated listeners who like that. Now, a lot of negative feedback about Lee's explosion. A lot of negative feedback
about my points.
About your points. A lot of people cheering Lee. A lot of people blasting Ira and vice versa. Trended a little more toward the sage, for sure. But a healthy percentage in Lee's corner. So we'll wait for Lee to come back to address that a little bit, see what he's thought. But Lee did offer to apologize to you, Ira, very quickly.
I saw him the next day at $1. And he did offer to apologize right away. I walked right past him and got a cup of coffee. But we're on speaking terms. We're okay. Lee's in L.A. right now. And we'll be back next week for a cordial podcast, I think. But I'm a little concerned because it's not the first time this has happened. I'm a little concerned.
Walked right past him, huh? That's not nice, Ira.
By the way, my opening salvo is this, Steve. Two things can be true. Bowles needs to adjust his scheme. It's not working. And they don't have the horses. Both things can be true. Now, I just saw a game where Josh Allen was under duress all night long from Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson. And I want Lee to come on this podcast. I challenge him next week. If you're listening, Lee, you show up next week with me and Steve, and you tell me how Logan Hall is the second coming of Danielle Hunter. Come on. And then maybe I'll put my microphone down, and I might walk out if you utter such a ridiculous statement. Two things can be true, Steve. Bowles isn't doing a great job with this defense, but he doesn't have the personnel to do it. Boom. That's my first statement.
Ira, Rondae Barber, okay, the pass rush. A lot of fans are blown away that the Bucs can't get to the passer at all. Josh Allen looks like a world beater against the Bucs. Is doing anything he wants to do. They can't get to him. They couldn't get to Drake May. Then Josh Allen, you know, 6 touchdowns against the Bucs. He goes out Thursday night. He gets embarrassed by a pass rush that he simply can't handle. No touchdowns, 2 interceptions. They can't do anything. They lose a critical AFC game to the Texans.
They're in trouble. Buffalo's in trouble now. You can see it on Allen's face after the game. Yeah.
Right after not being in trouble against the Bucs with that offense, scoring 44 points, as you pointed out, the worst showing against a Todd Bowles defense.
In Tampa
that we've seen. So, Ira, before I get to some of the issues in the pass rush and comments by Rondae Barber being highly critical of what's wrong with the Buccaneers pass rush, you promised last week that you were going to ask Todd Bowles the tough question of whether he was embarrassed.
And you didn't think I would.
No, I knew you would. I was curious how you were going to phrase it. So why don't you talk about that, what you thought about his response?
Well, I was thinking going into Wednesday, which is Bowles and Baker Mayfield day, start of a new week, looking ahead to the Rams game, I wasn't going to let the Buffalo game go by, Steve. 44 points for a Todd Bowles defense, that's beyond concerning. And didn't play very well against New England either. And to me, New England's got kind of a pop gun offense. They're scoring a lot of points, but I don't know how. They don't have a lot of weapons. At least Buffalo's got Josh Allen. So I said, Coach, this is your 7th year running the Buck defense. 7 years. You had 3 takeaways, so that took away, you know, some of Josh Allen's snaps. And despite that, you gave up the most points you ever have when you were watching the films. Was there a sense of embarrassment on your part? And I did use the word, Steve. I think it's an important word. I think his response was, I'm embarrassed every time we lose. Well, that didn't address the specific game. I think he was embarrassed. I think he's furious. That's the only reason, Steve, that I think the Bucs will play a credible game in Los Angeles, because on paper, the way these two teams are going, they're going in opposite directions. You would think the Rams are going to win this game by 20 points, but I think pride is going to come into be a factor in this game, defensive pride. I think Bowles read them the riot act this week. If he didn't, shame on Bowles.
I would agree with you, except wouldn't he have read them the riot act after the Patriots game? Big play after big play after big play at home, coming off a bye week with excellent health within the defense. So how do you respond to that?
Going to Buffalo is a lot more of a challenge. Again, they were 25-3, now 26-3, the last 29 games in Buffalo. They tried, but they didn't have the guys to corral Josh Allen, and Houston did. Josh Allen beat him almost single-handedly.
All right, Ira, I'll throw you a hypothetical then. You just said that a big component of this game is going to be Bowles reading the defense, the riot act, him being furious, them, you know, back-to-back nonsense. If it happens again, are you going to feel that Bowles either has lost the defense or the defense doesn't fit, or what would be your response?
First thing, that means they are fully in another mid-year slump. Even if they win, you could argue that. But right now, it's 3 out of 4, and if it's 4 out of 5...
losses.
That is a serious mid-year slump. Steve, it is amazing how things change in this league because, Steve, a month ago, we were talking about Baker Mayfield and his MVP considerations, and he was right in the thick of things. And that was before Matt Stafford's gone on this heater, you know, and now he's number one. Back then, I was talking about Jonathan Taylor, you know, Drake May. Anyway, nobody's talking about Baker Mayfield and the MVP. Not that he's playing terrible. His play's leveled off, but right now, all the talk is about this Buck defense and their shortcomings, and there's a lot of them. I thought it was an embarrassing defensive performance, and I used that word, and Bowles didn't disagree with me. He didn't say I was wrong. So we shall see. Carolina's probably going to lose in San Francisco, but they still could only be a half a game back by you know, going into the next weekend. And, you know, you would think the Bucs will straighten things out against Arizona because Arizona's awful, and they look like they're packing in the season. But you say no. You say don't sleep on Arizona.
They got some talent.
You know, they score some points.
And they can move the ball. So, I mean, dangerous, but not a team that the Bucs should lose to.
I guess what I'm saying, Steve, is if it is the 4 out of 5 loss mid-year slump, it seems like it's going to be another year that goes down to the last week or two and the Bucs have to win the game. And we thought we were past that. We thought we were past that with this wretched division, which Carolina's not wretched anymore. They're okay.
All right. So Rondé Barber has his streaming show on WFLA.
God bless the man. He speaks his piece, Steve.
He does speak his piece. Now, it's a WFLA TV production. However, it's really a Buccaneers show because Barber, and early in the show when it's launched this year, said that, hey, it's a Bucs, and he put together this special 50th anniversary production, and the two major sponsors are Buccaneers' major partners.
But the Bucs don't have to approve his comments.
Correct. So they don't have a leash on Rondé, although I think they might like to at this point. Who knows how that relationship is going. But Rondé Barber was with the team in Buffalo and called the game in place of Dave Moore on the Buccaneers radio network. So he is just coming off traveling with the team, being immersed in everything team.
Went to the meetings.
Stayed at the hotel I was at.
You didn't have a drink with him.
It was interesting. Baker Mayfield came to the front desk. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe he needed a toothbrush who knows what he needed. But I happened to be in the lobby, and man, was he mobbed by fans, you know? And Baker handled all the fans. I mean, I was looking from a distance. He handled all the fans very well. He wasn't there to socialize, but he was being very respectful of fans and took a picture or two, but was letting people know I've got somewhere to get to. And
Who better to take a deep dive on defensive strategy and scheme than Rondé Barber? I called him the smartest player in football, Steve, during most of his career. I stand with that.
So, Barber, I'm going to read some of this word for word. I already typed this up. He thinks the Bucs defense needs to be fixed, and he thinks it needs to be simplified, number one, and he gets how what Todd Bowles is doing and why he feels he has to blitz, but he said that they got to be more selective. And he says, quote, like, how many times do I got to see an edge player, guys wearing number 0, or number 98, Anthony Nelson, running in the flat with a running back or wide receiver because that's the responsibility? They're rushers. Barber continues, That makes sense to me for this defense when Hassan Reddick's on the field. And the logic there, Ira, was that Reddick has
he's more athletic.
He's enough of an athlete to handle that. But he goes on to say, Reddick hasn't been on the field. He's got an ankle injury that, quote, I just can't get an answer on. I don't know why he's not playing. But he's the guy who can handle those situations. These other guys cannot, Barber continues. They're just not that type of athlete. And he says, and this is probably the biggest, most damning thing, Ira. He says, I know it's one of the biggest tenets of the Todd Bowles defense to be variable and have everybody pressuring and whatnot and everybody doing all different things. But he says, quote, I think you got to be more normal. He used the word normal. Don't call the plays that are going to put players in positions to get beat. And I thought that was just the most damning of all, because every coach everywhere says, I'm going to put you in positions to make plays. Rondé Barber thinks Todd Bowles is putting players in position to get their ass beat. And what's your response there?
Well, first, I applaud Barber for his candor. He's always been like that. You know, he's got an ego. He knows that he knows more than almost anybody about how to play successful defense. That's what helped, you know, drive him towards Canton and a gold jacket. I looked it up, Steve. The Bucks, I believe, are yielding 25 points a game. It's not the worst in the league, but it's far from the best. And that is the worst defensive showing since Bowles arrived, except for the first year in 2019. That was before, you know, the cavalry arrived, before Brady arrived. But since then, from 20 on, the Bucks have not allowed 25 points a game as an average. So, Steve, bottom line, to go along with what Rondé's saying, it's not working. Steve, it's not working. Something's got to change here. They're not very good on tackling. You know, yards after catch, I believe they're number three from the bottom in allowing the most yards after catch
defensively.
And part of that is who, you know, who's covering these guys in the flat? Jamar Gibbs, you know, whether it's Bijan Robinson, they got to face him again. That's been a big problem. I don't want to see Anthony Nelson trying to cover a back in the flat. Steve, this goes back to the most critical play, one of them, in the Washington playoff game when I believe it was Austin Eckler. Might have been a third down play.
Yeah, Diaby.
Down the left sideline. Diaby, you know, he did his best.
Almost made a play.
He did his best, but, you know, that's a big ask. It's too big an ask. You know, Eckler's a very good receiver. Always has been. Even with the Chargers. Always very dangerous in the flat as a third down outlet guy. One of the best. And you're going to charge Anthony Nelson, you know, or Yaya Diaby with that kind of responsibility. This is not the first time in my recollection, Steve, that Rondé Barber has said, I think it's time for Bowles to simplify this defense. I think he's asking too much of these guys.
One of my favorite quotes as Barber wrapped it up. He kept going and he said, at some point, you got to let your edge players be edge players.
Yep.
You got to let your linebackers cover, your safeties cover, your corners cover. He wants them to play man, pressure, and just be a little bit more normal. Let these guys get into a rhythm. One thing, you know, I talked to an edge rusher years ago, the Bucks, and another guy, Steve White, used to talk about this as well. The late Steve White, who was a Buccaneers edge rusher in the 90s until 2000, he used to talk about you want to be out there consistently. You want to be consistently rushing the passer so you can set a guy up with moves. Okay, I'm going to give him twice. Next time I'm coming with this. And when you're dropping in coverage all those many times, you lose track of what you were doing to set the guy up. I'm not saying these guys are good edge rushers, Yaya and Nelson, but it's not working. And Matthew Stafford, Sunday Night Football, he's phenomenal this year against the blitz, the numbers. I've seen them. But he's also phenomenal when you're not blitzing.
Didn't I say to Bowles he's seen every blitz in the world? Right, Steve, on one of my questions.
You did.
So what are you going to do? He goes, that's the challenge. It's really difficult. Now, sometimes it works, Steve. They sent Servassier Dennis up the middle. He was untouched. And Josh Allen made a high school pass. And the Bucs got the ball at the 7-yard line, and they didn't score a touchdown.
He's got to be more selective. Florida's EliteRestoration.com. Get there now. Understand who to call when you have a disaster at your property. Water damage is a killer. You have to address it immediately in order to really take advantage of your insurance coverage. It has to be mitigated. Call Florida's Elite Restoration at the first sign of a disaster at your property. Mold, storm damage, flood, fire. Call them. They'll come out, give you a free inspection at your home with the best technology. Family-owned, owner Josh Martin has the Ira Kaufman podcast discount for all of our listeners. Mention Ira or Joe Bucks Fan when you call. And if you need their services after a free inspection, you'll get $500 back. They're a one-stop shop covering the entire Tampa Bay area and across the state. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. 5-star Google reviews across the board. Do your homework. Buccaneers at the Rams, 6-4 Bucks. Rams 8-2, and they are sizzling hot. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com here with the great sage of Tampa Bay sports, Ira Kaufman, in his 50th year handling the sports media business.
How many, Steve?
50th year since you got your first job in New York.
What is that, golden? What's 50? Is it 50 golden? I don't know what it is. In my case, it might be, bronze, but... That's 5 decades.
It's something fancy. I think it might be silver. I don't even know.
It could be silver.
Well, whatever it is.
Where's my plaque, Steve? You know, you got to put something on.
You got to finish your 50th year. You can't start it. You got to finish it.
Hey, the Rams are feeling good about themselves. They just polished off Seattle in a tough game. That was a tough game.
Oh, look, the Rams are, everything has broken well for them. Their defense is phenomenal.
Post Aaron Donald. Amazing.
Post Aaron Donald. And they've got a Hall of Fame receiver in Devontae Adams, who has more touchdowns than Mike Evans and is way up on that list.
And the coup is elite, and they got a good running back.
Where are the flaws, Ira? And to make matters even worse, here are a few numbers for you, courtesy of ESPN. The Rams' defense this season, Ira, where do you think they rank in points per game?
Points per game allowed?
Points per game allowed.
I would say second.
Second. 17.2
maybe
points.
Maybe behind Houston? Maybe.
Efficiency, which is a weird rating, but yeah. ESPN has them at number one in the league in efficiency. Touchdowns allowed, best in the NFL.
Total touchdowns
allowed?
Total
touchdowns, best in the NFL. Takeaways, they rank second in the NFL. That's what the Bucs
are. Where's the weaknesses?
None. There's no weakness. So the weakness is they do have a secondary that's not necessarily great.
They don't have Jalen Ramsey anymore, right?
Correct. Yeah. And you can move the ball there a little bit, but the pass rush is fierce. Ironically, Ira, after what we saw on Thursday Night Football of the Texans choking out Josh Allen and the Bills, and we saw the Texans in week two, that was when Graham Barton was still at left tackle, and he was holding on for dear life against Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson. Charlie Heck jumped in that game for Luke Goedeke at right tackle, and it was, it was scary.
But the Bucs prevailed.
Todd Bowles was asked about the Rams pass rushers on his team-sanctioned radio show this week, and his response, they're like Houston, like Bowles' way of summing up what they expect.
The challenge, the challenge.
From Byron Young and last year's rookie great. Jared Verse. Yeah. So that's what the Bucs are up against. I've seen the Rams play versus, he bounces around, and they're just a dangerous
pass rush. They're well coached, Steve. They're well coached,
Well coached, but, the pass rush is consistent. It's one thing to get, to be a top three sacking
team.
Don't
they got that Kobe Turner also, an inside guy?
They got a lot of guys. It's one thing to be, get the numbers, but the consistency of the pass rush, it's like Houston. They keep coming and they keep coming and they keep coming. But this time the Bucs have Luke Goedeke healthy and playing well. They've got Tristan Wirfs healthy and playing well.
The answer is to run the ball. Unfortunately, they're going to be running it without Bucky Irving again. So here we go, Bucky Irving. Right now, let's talk a little bit about Bucky Irving.
Yeah, number 7 is on a lot of fans' minds for good reason. So, Ira, a lot was going on with Irving this week. I'll start by saying Rondé Barber, who works for the Buccaneers, has his show on WFLA.
Impeccable sources.
He called the game for the Bucs, traveled with the team last week to Buffalo. He point blank said on his show, Bucky Irving will not play. And he has hinted before that on his show that Bucky Irving's got bigger things going on. He said something like Bucky's got to take care of Bucky. This was a couple of weeks back. Okay. Well, there was a lot of stuff stirred up this week. Big national headlines to a degree. National chatter anyway. Mike Florio, top insider, ProFootballTalk.com, NBC Sports. He went on his show and said that Bucky Irving's going to be out a while and that there are things that are going on that are not on the injury report. And Florio said, maybe I shouldn't bring this up. And he told Chris Sims, his co-host, the former Bucs quarterback, I'll talk to you off the air about it.
But those comments didn't come as a shock to you and I, Steve. They
Correct.
Did not.
Right here. He said, I'm not so sure Bucky Irving's going to be back this weekend based on something I heard when we were in Philadelphia. I'll tell you off the air what I heard. I want to be careful. It just underscores the very real existence of inside information because it's something that probably shouldn't be out. But I don't think he's going to be back anytime soon. It definitely is more information than what is in the injury report. That's what Mike Florio said on the air. He didn't take it back. He didn't edit it.
Steve, shortcut. It's not about the shoulder.
To a degree. Or the ankle, which is what he's on the injury report for. Now, we heard this, Ira, and that was fascinating to us because I'll let readers know what was going on and our listeners.
It was during the bye week.
Before the bye week, I learned that Bucky Irving was having personal issues. And this required me and you, and I asked somebody else to do their best digging on this. And when we're digging, we're looking for information. And we're also using our decades of experience to determine the responses, what that looks like and all that. Nobody denied any of this.
But we couldn't quite nail it down. So we didn't.
But we got to a point, Ira, you and I and Lee, where we knew that something was going on. But we were told with confidence that it's in the rearview mirror. That, yes, but here we are. Everything's good. Bucky's in the building. Bucky's working here every day. It's all good.
And now Florio's hearing things in Philadelphia.
So now, 3 weeks later, Mike Florio's hearing things out of state that seem to jibe with what we were hearing. So our position is we don't know if something new has arisen or it's just a continuation of what we found out. Now, Ira, a lot of fans don't like this. It's like saying, I know a secret and I can't tell you. But in this business,
it's too sensitive. It's too sensitive to fly off the handle.
In our business, when something is told to us off the record and we get it that way, we have to honor it, meaning we can't share it. Sometimes it's nobody can know about this. Sometimes it's you didn't hear it from me. And this is why people covering politics or sports or whatever, or a team or an event, maybe a court case. This is why they write books 20 years later about the subject, to share all the things they knew.
The source is dead.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Or somebody or a source told them, hey, it's okay. You want to write a book? You can go with everything I told you back then. This is why that happens. So we're not trying to scam fans. We're basically just saying what Mike Florio said, Bucks fans should know, is no surprise to us sitting right here and everybody at Joe Bucks Fan World Headquarters. And this was nothing sinister. This is no reflection of Bucky's character. It's just life happens, and here we are. I can say, though,
we couldn't get a credible confirmation, Steve. So we didn't run with it.
We did get a credible confirmation, Ira, but it wasn't something that we could write about in great detail. And again, we were promised that, essentially told, it's in the past.
Yeah.
So, you know, what are we going to write about a guy's personal problem? I can tell you this, Ira. Years ago, I knew of two Buccaneers who were evicted while they were playing for the Buccaneers, evicted from their apartment complexes for not paying, non-payment of rent. I could go on and on. I knew a Buccaneers player, a very big guy who was the victim of domestic violence. His spouse was beating him up consistently.
Football player.
Yeah, this was not something, and he was not fighting back. This was not something that I was going to be sitting here sharing and stuff. A lot of personal stuff passes us, and you got to be quiet on certain things if you want to have some credibility within the people that you're talking and getting information from.
And Steve, I think it's worth repeating. If somebody says, you know, you got to protect me on this or whatever, you can't use their names. Otherwise, the word's going to get around and nobody's going to ever talk to you. They're never going to talk to you again. It could be somebody in a position of power, and they're going to tell other people in the organization, and there's a code. And when somebody says that something's off the record, you got to honor it.
That's really my biggest point. And also, that helps us educate fans and lets us, okay, we know this and this.
Can, and we say, don't be surprised if something happens.
Yeah, we have that in the back of our heads as we're communicating with fans, and it's all part of the process. I'll give another wacky example. A Bucks coach told me something in confidence about the Tom Brady-Todd Bowles relationship when I was at a joint practice in Tennessee in 2022. Now, I had nothing I could do with that other than to kind of round it into broader information that we were sharing and help me look for other things. And that was part of the genesis of me writing a story back then that there's no pictures of Todd Bowles and Tom Brady on the sidelines. Our photographer, who's awesome, was looking for things all the time, though, to get that picture. They just didn't really talk to each other. And last thing I'll say, Ira, that fans don't realize is there's an NFL rule that says your photographer, your company photographer on the sideline, can't feed you information to report. They're there to take pictures and that's it, because the league knows they're hearing players talk on the bench. They're seeing things that aren't necessarily supposed
they're
to be
seeing what a coach says to a player.
They're catching a lot of injury-related information as well. That's one reason they put the player's tent up. So we have a photographer at nearly every game. And we get a lot of information that way. I can't sit here and say, our man on the scene heard Chris Godwin say this and saw this. And so there's a lot of rules not just judgment as well.
One more thing about the Irving situation, Steve, and you know this better than anybody. Overall, the Bucks have been very vague about a lot of injuries this year, including Redick, whoever else you want to throw in there, Godwin. Steve, would you agree? They've been particularly vague about Bucky Irving, particularly vague. What's going on? Is it the shoulder? Is it the ankle? Is he having any other issues? Very, very vague. Maybe this whole thing will clear up and Irving will come back for the Arizona game. Maybe. You know, I think he needs to improve his play because he wasn't playing that well, Steve. Like you always mentioned. What are you doing averaging 3.3 yards? The year before it was 5.4. I mean, that's a huge drop.
He only played four games, makeshift offensive line.
He did catch the 72-yard touchdown,
yeah, had
right?
some good catch and runs. Bucky Irving, from what I know, I expect him to play next week against the Cardinals at home in what we think is going to be an incredibly critical game.
And that's the Simeon Rice halftime ceremony, too.
We'll talk about our predictions for Sunday Night Football.
Suppose the Kemper's visiting the L.A. Zoo and an orangutan looks at him the wrong way. Is it going to walk off out of the zoo, too?
Hey, low blow, Ira. Low blow. For those who don't know what we're talking about.
He made a hasty exit. Hasty.
Last podcast, Ira Kaufman podcast. You can find that all kinds of places and on the iHeart Radio app. So, Ira, look, big picture on the Bucks. A lot of fans, all kinds of emotions going on.
Bowles didn't do so great on your confidence poll, Steve. He did not.
Yeah, Todd Bowles' confidence poll is struggling right now if you're a Todd Bowles backer. And I guess, you know, frankly, I should mention the numbers. That confidence poll runs once a week. I don't run the poll within 48 hours of a game because I don't want your emotional response. I want your
reasoned response.
I don't tell you when the poll's running, so you don't call your hacker friends. And I want a different cross-section of fans, slightly, at least, every single week. Sometimes it runs on a Friday, Wednesday, night, day, whatever, and it's short. We run a short window because I don't want people, I'm going to go home for lunch and vote in the poll, or I'm going to call my wife and tell her to vote on her lunch hour or whatever. So the poll runs for less than 2 hours. It's a flash poll, and I always share the results from the previous week, and that's it. So this week, Ira, Todd Bowles, 42% of fans said they have little confidence in Todd Bowles. 25% of fans said they have no confidence.
That's two-thirds of the respondents, little or no confidence.
Exactly. Two-thirds of fans, little or no confidence in Todd Bowles. That's bad. I've been doing these polls for over a decade every single week as far as coaches go. I think Lovie Smith, when he was fired, was at 80% negative. So Dirk Cutter, same realm. So the fans are not with Bowles right now.
They've lost 3 out of 4, Steve.
3 out of 4, I get. But do you think it's fair that the fans have turned largely on Todd Bowles? The Bucks are 6-4.
To an extent, I think it's fair. They're in another tailspin. Some of us thought those days were behind. This roster. The problem is, this roster is not the roster we thought they were going to have. So if you want to cut them some slack, you'd say, where's Mike Evans? Where's Godwin? Where's Irving? Where's Kancey? You know, where are these guys? Gedeky just came back. Where's Malk? Where's McMillan? So the fact is, I still think this team was too good to go into one of these tailspins, and I think it might get worse this weekend before it gets better. I think it will get better. Big picture, the sky's not falling, but it's drooping a little. It is drooping.
All right, so if you think it's fair, you said it's fair that the fans have lost confidence in Todd Bowles. I'll ask you point blank. What are the top two things he's done wrong?
The culprit is the defense, and that's on him. You know, a year ago, they had a lot of trouble scoring points, or 2 years ago. Two years ago under Canales, and the defense wasn't bad, and they won 9 games that year. This year, it's on the defense. 25 points a game. It's not acceptable. It's not acceptable for a unit that is fairly injury-free. Fairly injury-free. Now, Kansas is a big part of it. I understand that. Secondary's healthy. You know, we'll see what's going on with Dean. Dean's played well this year. They missed him. They missed him against Buffalo. But can they manufacture some kind of a pass rush against Stafford? Stafford, Steve.
So just the defense? Do you blame the special teams on Bowles? Because that's been horrendous, Ira.
I think you're going to see a change there. I think you're going to say.
So do you blame Bowles for it?
Well, I was going over some of the guys. I'm working on another story for this week. But, you know, look, I'm not going to pin this all on little Coke Keefe, Steve. But he's a good but he's a good special teams player. He is. We're just talking about special teams.
Yeah.
Not talking about catching the ball.
I just see in the headline of your column, Co-Keefe cost Bucks playoffs.
Critical factor. You know, he can't.
Is it his fault? Is it Todd Bowles' fault? The special teams. Do you think that, I'll put it this way. Do you think this poll would be different if Todd Bowles fired his special teams coach after the Buffalo game? Would this poll look different?
I think it would look slightly different. You might get a 10-point bump. 10-point bump. But, Steve, 65-67% negative. I mean, that's going to get the attention of everybody, including the guys that write the checks. They follow this stuff. Rightfully or wrongfully, they follow this stuff. He's going to have to turn this around. I think the Bucks can, and I still think they can win 11 games. But right now, they got to straighten this thing out.
How would you have voted?
I would have said...
All right, the choices.
What are the categories? Give me the
choices. Totally confident, very confident, confident, little confidence, no confidence. Where would the Sages vote?
I would have said confident. Confident.
Confident.
Confident.
That got 26% of the vote. It's a tough question for me.
I think he's earned a little confidence, Steve, winning 8, 9, and 10 games and with a chance to win 11 games. I think that gives him a little credibility.
It's a tough question for me because, like, what's the big picture? Is the question, are you confident that he can win you a Super Bowl? Or is the question, you're confident that he knows what he's doing as a head coach and is doing a good job? I would be struggling between little confidence and confident. I mean, I have a little confidence. Could I say I'm confident in Todd Bowles? Could I look somebody in the face and say that? I'm not sure what it means. I'd have to think it through. But I'm teetering on little confidence to confidence. If he loses...
That's fair.
I don't think this week will change my mind, Ira.
That's fair,
against
too.
The Rams. I don't think it would change me at all.
But the Arizona game would certainly change your mind.
Yeah, Arizona would be a crossroads game for me, and I think for any Bucks fan. And they got to establish something at home as well. You have to. You know, if you make the playoffs, which would be a no-confidence vote if he misses the playoffs, if you make the playoffs, it's going to be a home game. You got to establish
something. You're going to make the playoffs by winning the division. Yeah. That's how you're going to make the playoffs.
They have not established a good advantage at home under Todd Bowles. And, you know, across the NFL, home field advantage isn't what it used to be. But for some teams, it still is.
Steve, I don't want to think about this, but should the Bucks lose as expected and Carolina pull off some kind of an upset Monday night, I mean, Buck Nation will be in full panic mode. And I wouldn't blame them.
The Bucks will be in second place.
They'd be I wouldn't blame them.
With two games left against Carolina. And, you know, this game coming up, though, Ira, I think it's a tremendous. You mentioned Baker Mayfield early in the show and how he's fallen out of the MVP.
He's leveled off, yeah.
MVP conversation. But in reality, and this is the NFL, and this is what makes it great, in reality, Matthew Stafford is the number one guy right now. He's the hot name for MVP.
27-2, right?
27-2. And you're talking about touchdowns to interceptions. Well, Baker Mayfield's sitting at 17-3. So, you know what? If Baker Mayfield puts the Bucks on his back in primetime, in L.A.,
wins 30-27.
Guts out a win. Wins 30-27, throws four touchdowns. Well, guess what? All of a sudden, Baker Mayfield is at 21 touchdowns, three picks. Bucks are 7-4. Shocked the world. They've beaten Seattle. They've beaten San Francisco. He's back.
They've beaten Houston.
Yeah.
Good team.
He's back. So that's... and
that's how quick things can change.
That's how quick things can change. That's how quickly Baker Mayfield can say, oh, let's put another $10 million on the contract extension I want later this year.
Now, would you run the ball a lot, Steve, on Sunday night, coming off a 202-yard effort? Now, I'll say this. Buffalo's rush defense is lousy, and the Rams' rush defense is not lousy. That's the difference.
Well, you know they're going to try. Most teams will try to run the ball. The Bucs have to try to run the ball. Because it's unrealistic to think they're just going to win this by throwing 330 yards in a shootout without running it at all. It's completely unrealistic. You got a hot running back. You've got, we'll call it a hot offensive line.
And you're keeping the ball away from Stafford in the process.
So you got to try. Will they be successful? I'm not really sure. A little bit, yes, but they got to be methodical.
How are they going to get Stafford off his spot, Steve? How you get him off a spotty?
Prayer.
This is a different challenge than Josh Allen. Steve, Allen's a guy you got to have a spy on. You don't have to have a spy on Matt Stafford. He's not going anywhere. But he reminds me of the Matt Ryans of the world, the Drew Breeses. You know, you're not worried about the guy beating you with his legs, but you got to get him off a spot or he's going to kill you.
And this will be a major change for those watching the Bucs defense this week because The Bucks did have a spy on Josh Allen. All too often you saw Servassier Dennis kind of just doing nothing.
And Drake May is a good runner.
And that's where I was going. They spied Drake May as well, who at the time was the number one rusher.
That's occupying one defensive player, right, Steve?
Correct. So you got a little flexibility here. Maybe that helps them to try to rush four and cover a little bit more versus just the crazy blitzes. You know the blitzes are coming, but they're not blitzing Levante David as much this year, I've noticed.
Maybe not Winfield as much, you know.
It's a little bit different. Dennis is probably their best blitzer, but we haven't seen as much of Tyke Smith. He's been so good in coverage that I think they don't want him to blitz. Lots to get into on this game, Ira, as we head toward a Sunday night. We're going to give our picks coming up.
Hey, I bounced back, Steve, after losing my pick against New England. I picked the Bucks to beat New England.
The smile on your face when you note how that you're at the top of the heap with our picks competition every year.
Yeah, but I'm smiling about that, but my fantasy team stinks.
Yeah, so it balances
out. Sucks.
Ira, we're presented by Bill Curry Ford. Everyone needs to know that 1 mile north of the stadium on Del Mabry Highway is the iconic 65-year-old dealership known as Bill Curry Ford. Curry is the family name. They're a third-generation family-owned dealership. The family is there.
How many years?
65, Ira. 65. And they do so much in the community. They're not just a big corporate dealership, but they are a big dealership. It's the biggest service department in Florida, and they have mobile service. They will do work on your vehicle at your home for no extra mobile service charge. That means whatever you'd pay at the shop, you'd pay at your home. They'll get the vans out there and work on your vehicle. They can't do everything, but there's so much they can do, from recalls to oil changes.
They do a lot of work with the military too, Steve.
Yeah, and as General Manager Bill Curry Ford, Sean Sullivan has let us know, they've got the contracts for Tampa Police and emergency vehicles, and they are so trustworthy. BillCurryFord.com. Get there today and ask Sean Sullivan for that Joe Bucks fan discount. All right, Ira, you are 9-1 this year picking Buccaneers games. Now that's sage worthy. And Lee and I are looking up at you, Lee DeCamper. He'll be back next week.
You both picked the Bucks to beat the Bills, Steve. You surprised me last week.
Well, and I still maintain the Bucks are the better team. I didn't say they played a good game or a pretty good game, but I still think they're a better team than the Bills. And the Bills were exposed on Thursday Night Football. And I like a lot of aspects of the Bucks, but this defense, Ira, it's alarming. And now Todd Bowles has another decision to make. Benjamin Morrison has struggled in his last two games.
He's looked like a rookie.
He's making some mistakes that are troubling, but he's not all bad.
What's the quote? Drifting? He's drifting.
He drifted, but Rondé Barber, Hall of Fame cornerback, he went on a dissertation on his show about Benjamin Morrison, and what scared the hell out of me is that Rondé Barber said some of his technique is off, that he's moving his feet too fast. He explained that that's going to get you beat in certain areas, and I can deal with the mental mistakes, but if Rondé Barber is going public saying this aspect of his technique is bad, the question, Ira, is, why hasn't it been fixed?
Let's put it in context, though, Steve. Rondé Barber, admittedly, was awful as a rookie. I wouldn't say Morrison's awful. He's struggling, no question. Rondé Barber did not have anything close to a credible rookie season. I think he was worried about getting cut.
He didn't play very much, and he'll be the first to tell you that year three is when he really took off. But let's still fast forward to today. If what Barber is saying is accurate, that his technique is not what it should be, in mid-November, we have to wonder, why is that the case? Now, I'm going to assume
it's probably tough to make in-season big adjustments like that, Steve.
Is it? I don't know. I'm going to assume Barber's correct. But then we have to look at Morrison came in injured, missed some time in the spring. He missed most of training camp with a hamstring. I get that that's all a factor, but man, some technique issues, that feels like something you could work on all week long. These guys are full-time NFL players.
But Steve, I think it's fair to say that in Todd Bowles' mind, Benjamin Morrison's going to be a starting cornerback in 2026, yeah, in Bowles' mind.
Now, the question is, does Todd Bowles put Jacob Parrish into that outside cornerback role?
You mean on Sunday night?
On Sunday night against the Rams. Parrish is the better player, the more complete player right now. And Todd Bowles has said since May, this guy could start at outside corner for basically any team in the league.
I would be surprised if that doesn't happen Sunday. I would be surprised.
So you think Chris,
then they got a new nickel.
You think they got Izian?
Yeah.
They came in?
Yeah, I think they got Izian.
That's kind of my gut feeling now. A lot of fans are like, well, how come you don't know?
You don't mess with Tyke Smith, Steve. You don't mess with Tyke Smith.
No, no way. He's been their best defensive player, and he's playing awesome at safety. But a lot of fans would say, well, how come you don't know? Well, the media gets locked out of practice after the first 25 minutes. So the first 25 minutes is stretching, warm-ups, a little drill work sometimes. Sometimes just coaches talking to the guys. They don't want you to see anything. So a good chance, I think it is Izian, who got hurt early this season, kind of disappeared.
Bulls likes Izian. Got no problem with Izian.
Yeah, smart guy. And look, Izian was on the field last year in Detroit, got an interception, played a hell of a game when they beat a high-flying offense. So he knows what to do.
Steve, this young secondary, and I can't stress this point enough, whether it's McCollum, Smith, Winfield's in his prime, you know, and then you got Morrison. This young secondary would look a hell of a lot better if quarterbacks were consistently under duress. And that hasn't been happening. Somebody says, how can you let so many big plays up? Well, the guy's got 5 seconds to throw the ball. That's what I'm going to be looking at Sunday night. Is Stafford under pressure? I didn't say sacked. Is he under pressure? Does he have to move to his right, to his left? Or is he sitting right there in that pocket? If he's sitting there in the pocket, it's going to be a long night.
The Rams tackle very well, Ira. You're going to be very impressed if you haven't seen a lot of Rams football. They tackle very well.
They're a well-rounded team, Steve.
And that's going to lead me to throwing out my pick. I think Baker Mayfield has it in him, and I think he has the health to do some amazing things here. And
Godwin could play.
If he comes back and plays the way he did early in the season in his first game back, that's almost worthless. So I think Ibuka needs to step up and look like a number one receiver on the big stage, and I think he can do it. I think Baker Mayfield's going to give an all-out effort here, Ira, to the extreme.
Including running.
Everything. And it's a big stage and a big game for seeding. I mean, this team has high hopes. I just don't think it's going to be anywhere near enough. I'm going to go Rams 30, Buccaneers 24 with a late touchdown, with them clawing back a little bit, but that's about it.
I'm kind of with you, Steve. I wish I wasn't. You know, one thing that would help offensively.
Bucky Irving, Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, who you got?
No, if Winfield could spread the ball out a little more, and I'm going to drop my nugget on you, Steve. I've been waiting all podcast.
Keep your pants on.
I'm going to drop the nugget. This is original research. Are you listening, everybody? This is original. This didn't come from Mike Florio. Steve, I need you to look at me. I checked it out yesterday. I'm writing about it today. There's 32 teams in the NFL. Am I correct, Steve?
You're correct.
31 of them have touchdowns from their tight ends. The only one that's missing, your Tampa Bay Bucks. Zero. Zero for Otten. Zero for Durham. Zero for Culp. Zero for Keefe. That hurts you in the red zone. And they're not very good in the red zone. Can you throw a touchdown to a tight end? Can you get more production? I think it's going to be a big offseason priority, Steve. So, when you wrap the whole thing up, are the Bucks going to get thrashed? I don't think so. I don't really think they've been thrashed this year. You might say the Detroit game. I don't think the Detroit game was out of hand.
No.
New England, you know, it was close. Last week, they had a lead in the fourth quarter. The Bucks don't lose by 20 points like Atlanta does when they play Carolina or somebody. I'm with you. You said 30 to 24, Steve. That's a good it's a good number. I think the Buck defense pride will rise to the occasion a little bit. I'm going to say 24-20 Rams.
And Ira, I'm going to send it over to Lee DeCamper. We got his audio from Los Angeles. He's got his take on Sunday's Bucks game. Here we go.
I landed in Los Angeles late Thursday afternoon, and I thought I was in Chicago. It was cold. It was dark. It was foggy. It was raining. It was not California weather. That same gloomy atmosphere has fogged my brain for Sunday night, and I expect another gloomy experience at SoFi Stadium. I just don't see how the Bucks can win this game. I really don't. The Rams may be the hottest team in the league. Stafford may be the hottest quarterback in the league. Sean McVay runs circles around Bulls defenses. Usually, it's just bad. Now you got Jamel Dean out. Chris Godwin, if he plays, he probably won't play 40 plays if you believe Josh Grizzard. This just looks ugly to me. I'm very down on the Bucks right now. I just see a blowout coming. I'm going to guess 35-24 Rams. However, for the people who are always looking for a positive, there's a Vegas trend that if the public betting is 65% or higher on a favorite, the dog covers 60-some percent of the time. I'll repeat that. If 65 or over of the public is betting on the favorite this year, 60-some percent of the time the dog covers. The Bucks are a 6.5-point dog, almost a touchdown. So if it's a close game, they cover. This played out Thursday night when Houston beat Buffalo. Buffalo was a big favorite. They were getting 70% of the money. Houston not only covered, they did a better job in cover. So there's your positive for the game. I expect it to be the third loss in a row after the bye. I'm just very down on this team. And even if the Bucks can keep it a one-score game, you know sooner or later Todd Bowles is going to chug a Slurpee and have a brain freeze. And we saw that in Buffalo. We've seen it too many times over the years. I hope we don't see it in Los Angeles, but I expect worse.
All right, thanks, Lee. Yeah, Ira, I don't expect much out of the defense since you talked about rising pride. I think the Buccaneers' offensive line is going to rise to the occasion here. And
they played a whale of a game in Buffalo.
And I think they'll do enough, but I don't think it will be enough overall. But I think the offensive line will hold up.
You're not looking for kickoff returns to be the factor again.
I don't know if they can fix it. I don't really know. I think it's more personnel than anything else. That's a story for another day. Josh Hayes had talked to me in the locker room. People can search that. A Joe Bucks fan gave some impressions that they were out-schemed in Buffalo on the special teams. I'm curious to see if Todd Bowles puts some starters on that kickoff coverage unit to shore things up, or if they just kick the damn ball out of bounds.
To give a team a ball at the 35.
Put it at the 35. Well, you know what? Are we splitting hairs if if they get it at the 31? I mean, so telling if we see McLaughlin open up the game in the dome and just
kicking the ball out of the end zone.
Quite a statement of something not very good, Ira. All right. Well, we're all in unison. And we'll be back next week.
Could be a big week for Simeon Rice, too, Steve. We are going to know this week whether Simeon makes the 25 semifinalist list. We're hoping he does because he deserves it.
So, Ira, so we got Lee's pick. We're all in agreement as far as the end result.
So we're all saying 6-5. 6-5 going home against Arizona.
6-5, and I don't know if I would have said much different before the season. I did pick the Bucks to win 10 games. You guys are at 11. And looking at the schedule, they should win 5 out of 6. But you know what? When you...
Steve, at the bare minimum, you got to go 4-2 down the stretch. Bare minimum. If you don't go 4-2, there's big problems in Tampa. Big problems.
Well, especially for the defense. Now, you can argue that, Todd Bowles' scheme is terrible against an elite quarterback because they know the blitzes. They're not going to get rattled. And all the things he tries to do. So look at the quarterbacks we have left, Ira. Look who we got left. We got Jacoby Brissett for the Rams. Excuse me, for the Cardinals. We've got Tyler Shook, second-round pick rookie. We've got...
You got Bryce Young.
Kirk Cousins for Atlanta. Now, that should scare the hell out of Bucks fans.
He can't throw... somebody told me he can't throw the ball more than 10 yards right now.
No, but he looks broken down. If the Sage would probably say he looks like Joe Namath in 73 for the Rams.
You got Tua.
You've got Tua, who is a very effective quarterback at home historically, and obviously they've won some games.
And Bryce Young just threw for 430 yards.
Bryce Young is not very good. Doesn't mean he's bad. The Bucks have seen plenty of him. They've struggled with him before, but he is nowhere close to an elite quarterback. So if you can't go 5 out of 6 against second-rate quarterbacks, what are you doing?
Yeah,
I think that's where we are.
We're looking at 6-5, Steve. Any way you chop it up.
All right, Ira. We're done chopping it up, but I got to ask you. I know you're down 10 pounds, and it's looking impressive. I'm seeing a little lean. Almost ready to use
almost the, muscle.
Almost ready to use the L word for Ira, and people are proud of you out there. What's been the secret this last month of November and holiday time? Are you concerned that you're going to fall off the wagon?
You know, Steve, it's like golf in this respect. I'm not a good golfer. But every 10 minutes, I'll make solid contact with the ball. And that keeps you going as a golfer, as a struggling golfer. Same thing with the weight. You get on every day, and if you consistently drop in weight, that reinforces what you're doing, and you don't want to mess with that. So having said that, I don't want you sending me those donuts. There'll be no more donuts. There'll be no more bread. Bread's been a big factor. We've basically cut it out, and it's really helped. It's going to help me on a tennis court against you when I get the sprained knee fixed. Look out.
All right. Ira Kaufman podcast is in the books. Thank you, Bill Curry Ford. Thank you, Florida's Elite Restoration. That's BillCurryFord.com for your auto shopping needs. Schedule mobile service today and Florida's Elite Restoration. That's where you go. Get ready now so you know who to call when there's a disaster at your home. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Thanks to all our listeners and subscribers. We'll be back with Lee DeKemper next week. We'll have a...
Will we be back with Lee DeKemper?
Oh, of course. Of course. You know that. You know that. Don't start rumors here.
A clean slate. Lee starts with a clean slate.
No wrestling match. And
As long as I don't bring up Edge Rush.
I'm going to bring it up
right away. You're going to bring it up right away.
First 5 minutes, I'll bring it up. Could you imagine if the Bucks have like 7 sacks in this game and lose to the Rams, Ira?
Or can you imagine if Anthony Nelson drops back into coverage and picks off Stafford twice?
Oh. Takes him the distance. All right, Bucks fans, hang in there. Big week ahead, big Sunday night. Don't go crazy. And long season ahead and a lot of fun left ahead on the Ira Kaufman podcast.